Father God, we come once more again into your presence. We thank you, Master, that you died and you were buried. But the good news is you rose with all power, the very authority that Deacon Brown was teaching about in Edify Hour. And now that authority has been transferred to us, if we'll just simply believe that you're now in us and want to work through us. The secret is to let you be resurrected through what we say and what we do and in our mind and our thinking. That's where the power of the resurrection haven't been understood by the church. To be renewed in our mind and be renewed in our thinking. That we're no longer losers, but we're winners because we have the holiness of God reigning and ruling on the throne of our mind, thinking, and action. So, Lord, continue to have your way. Let us always be found knowing that you are at work in us. Not we are at work. It's you that is at work in us to do your good pleasure. So, Lord, help us to understand that. To remember those five things we have been teaching at this church. That you are in sovereign control.
Yes, Lord.
And that you are a good God. And that you love us. And that you want an intimate relationship with us. And that you are pursuing us every day of our life to know who you are. As long as we can know and remember those things, the adversity of life will not overtake us. So, Lord, have your way. As we look into your word and go get more of the power of your truth be lived out through us. And we will continue to give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' wonderful, magnificent name we pray. And the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer, say amen.
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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can I get you to stand to your feet if you open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Deacon Brown, one of Deacon Brown's favorite passages. Verse 13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work his good pleasure." ST this morning, Tyler's morning message. God is always working on you in threes. People that logged in last week to Bible study got an introduction to this. God is always working on you in threes. That's why you can't never figure out where he's coming from. Because he always going to come in a direction you might not understand. Look at sermon text number one. Sermon text number one. God wants you to remember. Remember. It is his power. It is his plan. And in his good pleasure. You see those three? And then in the midst of those three, he's showing you where he is. Where is he at? Inside. What is his plan? His will. What is his pleasure? His desire. So you may be seated. All through this message, I thought I was just going to talk about those three. But God said, I'm continually working. And I'm always working in areas of three. Your mind, your will, and your emotion. God said, I'm at work. And you have to remember, it's his ability.
Yeah.
Y'all see that? Not your ability, it's his ability. What do you have to know? That you can't do it. And the only way it's going to happen is you have to have what? His ability. You have to have his power. You see that in verse 1? Verse 13? It's God who is at work. Notice it didn't say it's you who is at work. It's who at work? It's God who is at work. Where? In you, inside. That's where the power resides. And it starts right here in your thinking. It starts right there in your mind. Second, it's his plan. What is his plan? To do his will. Every day, God wants his will to be done through you, and it's up to you if you let it. God will not override your will. And what's the last thing? His good pleasure. God wants to do what he wants to do on the planet through you. And that's why we're here every Sunday. We have a picture of the communion. We are now his body and blood to be resurrected through us.
Right.
It is God who is at work both to will and do what? His good pleasure. Let that sink in. ST number two. We're going to come back to this Philippians verse in just a minute. What's God's primary purpose? Deacon said it this morning in his teaching. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. It is God, see what it says? For we know, verse 28, put that up for me. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, which is God, and those who are called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose? Verse 29. God's sole purpose is to conform you to be like his son, Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, Romans chapter 8, not Romans chapter 2, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God's number one agenda every day is to let Jesus be coming through you. How does that happen? You have to let him be resurrected. How does that happen? You got to die to self and let him be lived out through you. Am I trying to help you today? So SC number two. It is God working, what? In these three areas again, in the future, in the present, and in the past. Remember, God's working, always working in threes. And I was sitting in there in the notes. I'm going to talk about some more things that he does in threes. It's beautiful when you let the word of God minister to you. When he's working in the future, what is he doing? He's preparing you. Whatever it is that you are going through, it's for future use, for his future glory. He's preparing you. What is the next thing he's doing right now? Present tense, what? Purifying you. He ain't going to let you go into heaven with that sinful, lustful flesh that you have dominating right now. He's at work purifying you, cleaning you up. What is he doing that's from the past? Two things all the time. First of all, he's getting you saved, and you have been pardoned from your sin.
Amen.
And then after that, after you've been saved, he's looking at what you're going to do, how you practice it.
Yeah.
And as I got to studying this message has so many powers of three, I had to change it. Because originally, the message was just God is always working in the future, the present, and the past. But then I got to looking at every verse I looked at, it had threes. It had threes. It had threes. That's the Holy Spirit working. See, when God saved you, he didn't save you to do this on your own. He already know you can't. The law already clearly says you can't. Anybody ever try to stop lying? Come on. If you just said, I have the ability to stop lying on my own, guess what you just did? You just told a lie. Without God's help, you can't do nothing. Doesn't John the 15th chapter say that? There were three parents discussing the time when life begins. And they each gave their opinion on when life begins. The first parent says, life begins when the child takes his or her first breath. And another parent said, nope, life begins when the child is conceived.
Yes.
And the third parent say, both of you guys are wrong. Life begins when the child leaves home and all our bills are paid off. God say life starts with him. He is the life giver.
Yeah.
As I said to the young people as we were preparing for this funeral coming up, life was Jesus Christ. And wherever Jesus Christ was, there was no death. Death never could reside in the presence of the life giver. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Now let me just want you to think. Do you know where his life now lives? Do you know where his life now lives?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. It's in you.
Yeah.
So why you keep operating in the death mode when you got the life mode inside of you?
That's it. Yeah.
Let his life be lived through you.
Yeah.
Remember verse 29? What is his purpose? To make you like his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that calls for a change.
Yeah.
That calls for a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
And it starts with repentance.
Yeah.
A little boy was overheard praying. He said, Lord, if you can't make me any better, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. Because I'm having a real good time like I am. God wants you to change. What does he want you to change into? The very sinless nature of his son.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right up front, when you're pulling it from your effort, you're going to fail.
That's it.
You need to concede right up front, Lord, I don't know how to stop this thing by myself. You have to help me. That's why he has given you the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Look what it says in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. How do you know you have God's help? He has given you his divine nature. See, the day you got saved, you got all the help that you need in the form of the Holy Spirit. The divine, sinless nature of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Verse 3 says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness.
Yeah.
How? Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you missed what it says in verse 3 about his divine power,
yeah,
look what it says in verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers, underline this in your Bible, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world by lust. The day you got saved, you got the sinless divine nature of Christ Jesus living on the altar of your soul. Now, how many people go to church and discover that? It's not about religion. It's about an intimate relationship with the true and living God.
Yeah.
Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. The day you got saved, God said, I have been equipping you to do what I want to do through you.
Yeah.
Remember, it's God that's at work to will and do his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
See, God didn't save you for you to do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
He saved you to do his thing.
Yeah.
You know that old song that they used to sing? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you. Anyway, that ain't true in the spiritual realm. God say, look what it says in verse 21, to equip you in every good thing to do his will. What? Working in us. That which is pleasing where? In his sight. Through Christ Jesus, of whom be the glory forever and ever.
Yeah.
Don't you know God said, I'm at work?
Yeah.
I'm at work. And let me just say this to you. When problems and things seem to be that there's no solution, and we said this on Tuesday night, you are in the prime position to get blessed. When you are in a situation where the problem seems unsolvable,
yeah,
where the problem seems overwhelming, where there's no way it can be worked out, unsolvable issues and problems, you are now in God's territory. There's somebody that missed that already. God lets you get in that situation that you can't work it out. You have to have him.
Yeah.
See, you're in a prime position in God's area,
yeah,
that you may discover more of him.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can handle it and work it out, you really won't rely on it. So God sometimes has to put you in an unsolvable position, an area that you're the only one that can solve the problem is who?
Mm,
it's him.
Yeah.
And you have to show God you understand that.
Yeah.
When you don't understand that God wants to work out the problem that he wants to do through you, you're missing your blessing.
Mm.
See, the understanding starts one day a little Johnny was, says to his father, little Johnny was saying to his father, that one day, you know, he was 7 years old. He says, I want to get married. And the father says, why do you want to get married? What do you want to put that on your mind? You got somebody in mind you like to get married to? And little Johnny says, yeah, I'd like to get married to grandma. So his father says, well, there's a problem now. You want to get married to my mother? And little John said, yeah. Why, you got married to my mother. Sometime I understand it's not where it should be. See, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And you show God every day by your response what you understand. See, we can fool people, but God already knows us. But do you know you? Let me ask you a question. You ever have a problem before? You ever had a problem before? Remember last week's sermon? Remember these three? Last week's sermon was to remember, recognize, and rejoice. Now, do you know that God is at work in you? Because if you don't remember, If you don't recognize and if you don't rejoice, you're already telling them you are misunderstanding. Have you ever asked why, God, why is this going on? Why am I going through this? Why is he not doing something about it? Why are you not doing something about it? You ever ask yourself that? Ask why it seems as if God is not working at all? Let me give you a clue. It's because maybe you're not ready. Because what he wants to do. See, a lot of times, you got to remember, it's God who is at work. Not you. It's God that wants to do his character through you. Are you listening this morning? Jeremiah 29:11. Very familiar passage. Jeremiah 29:11. He says, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Now, do you really believe that?
Amen.
When adversity and problems happen, you got to remember, God has a bigger picture than what you can comprehend.
Amen.
And you have to understand, God is wiser than you. And whatever he's allowing is for your growth and your development to trust him more. Why? He has a future and he has a hope. Why? Plans of welfare and not calamity. That already ought to free you up. So all the problems, all the things you're experiencing, it's not to destroy you. It's not to harm you.
Yeah.
It's to build you up more in him.
Yeah.
Are we teaching?
Amen.
Philippians 1:6. I like what Paul said. See, with the day you got saved, your confidence ought to be more in him. Not in yourself. He says in verse 6, "For I am confident in this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." God said, "I done started this thing. I'm going to complete it. I'm going to finish up what my son is going to do through you in your life." But have you come to recognize that? God said, "I want you to know it." And let me do some teaching. Every situation that seems to be unsolvable is an opportunity to let you realize you're now in God's area. You're not in God's territory because he's the only one who can work it out. Pastor doesn't rely on that. Believe me, when we didn't have $2 in the bank, the plan to come build a building, I had to trust him. And he's doing that same thing in your character.
Amen.
I was sitting in the office, and after I had talked to Deacon Brown, guess what some more things the Lord said? And maybe this I need to continue this next week. God is also at work to work through you with the Holy Spirit in three things. Situations, spokesman, and the scripture. What else, Pastor? God said, "I'm at work in your mind, your will, and your emotions." See the three? God said, "I'm also at work in your time, in your talent, in your treasure." And see, and I'm going to add some more to this. He says, "In time, I'm working in your minutes, seconds, and hours." And an add one is something that you ain't seen on the radar, eternity. He says, "I'm working in your talent." That's your ability and your skill. And I ain't got a third for that yet, but it's coming. He says, "I'm working on your treasure." Your money, how you make your money, and what you're doing with it. Remember, God is always working in things you can't figure out. He's always working on you in what?
Threes.
So don't figure it out. Yield. If God say, "Forgive your enemies," forgive your enemies. If God say love, now I'm going to tell you, that love factor, he has to help you with that. The only way you know God is able to work that love through you when you have no more animosity towards somebody that did you wrong.
That's it.
Only God can do that. Because everybody on the sound of my voice, on the Zoom meeting and on the phone, you have a level at some point you display revenge. But you have to yield to God's word because he said, "Vengeance is mine, say the Lord, I will repay." Do you believe that?
Amen.
I say, do you believe it?
Amen.
It is God who is at work. Put that verse back up there for me, Terrence. Philippians 2:13. See, once you realize it's his power, it's his plan, and it's his pleasure, that frees you up. God didn't expect you to do this stuff. Only God can do it. The one that perfect and sinless is the only one that's able to do it through you.
Amen.
What is he looking for? Three words, L-E-T. for you to what?
Let it.
L-E-T. Mm. All you do is let. Mm. And anything associated with your will and how you want it done, let it die. His power will now show up on the scene.
Yeah.
And that's a resurrection through you.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why you don't want to do stuff you used to do? Because he's changing you.
Yeah.
Your pastor used to have regular gambling meetings with my friends over at the house.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm. Don't do that now. Ain't been years since it happened, but I thought that was all right. Come on. See how you changed your thinking?
Mm.
I told you last week, when Sister White said she's going to take the kids to go get baptized, I had worked, I think, 10 or 12 hours that day, that night or whatever. I didn't want to go. I stayed at home. See what my thinking was? Amen. See, God changes you. But all you got to do is get in His Word. And once you get in His Word, I guarantee you, He's going to get you. He comes at you like a hawk to say, I'm going to make you be godly. I'm going to help you be godly. And then you're going to see how messed up you were in your thinking. And you'll say, Lord, forgive me. And what would the deacon say? Repentance.
Mm.
See, repentance is a proof that you now recognize who He is and He wants to change you. Remember, it's God who is at work. See what it says?
Yeah.
When you let that sink in, it's not you that is at work. You have to rely on Him. Lord, I don't know how to stop this desire. I don't know how to stop this attitude. I don't even know how to keep my mouth shut sometimes. But guess what? He'll start teaching you to show you, die to self.
Yeah.
A dead person ain't going to drink no bottle of whiskey, is he? Why? Because he's what? So when you realize nothing is allowed to come through you except the things that Christ wants done, you're going to learn more about Him. Let's get to the closing passage in Ephesians chapter 1.
Mm.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Verses 4, 5, 7, and 9 tells us about the past and the present.
Mm.
And verses 9 through 14 tells us about the future.
Mm.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3.
Mm.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now don't miss that. You are now in heaven and part of your character and part of where you're going to be for eternity. That's what God said. That's where you are right now. So now just think about what you're doing on earth. Is that what you want to do in heaven? So a lot of stuff ought to be stopped, right?
Right.
How you handle your money? How you handle your sex life? Am I meddling? How you handle, you treat your parents?
Yeah.
See, how you handle coming, worshiping on Sunday? And let me just jump to the top one. You being God over everything. See, when you do that, you're telling God, my name is now in heavenly places. I now know who my new identity is. Verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him, where? Before the foundation of the world. That we should, or we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. God didn't call you the same attitude, the same fallen thinking. You are now a holy creature. You are now a godly creature living on the planet. Blameless before God. Now it's up to you. Do you understand what God say you are?
Yeah.
Not what you feel. Bob Smith was sick on his job and was determined to find work elsewhere. He wanted to find a new job. But no matter how hard he tried, his reputation as someone who was not dedicated to the job somehow would follow him around. So one day in the office, the phone rang in the office that he was working at. And although Bob usually never picked up the phone, he picked up the phone and said hello and the company's name. And the man on the other line says, I have an unusual request to ask of him. I'm looking for a fellow named Bob Smith for a position we have at our company. Do you know this fellow? Bob responded, sure, I know him. Then the man says, well, tell me. He says, is he consistent at work? Does he always show up on time? And Bob responds, well, to be honest with you, I'm not consistent myself, but I know one thing for sure is when I'm here, he's here. See how we can kind of twist these things? It's a testimony of your work. You're showing God. Look what it says in verse 5. He predestined us to adoptions as sons. Through Christ Jesus. Through Jesus Christ. To what? Himself. See that intimacy? I like what Dick did when he was teaching. God wants to come down and be intimate with you. And only you can allow that intimacy to take place. According to the kind intention, notice what his reason is? His will. Verse 6. To the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So you see how that was what he did in the past and what he's now doing in the present? Verse 7. For in him we have redemption through his blood. And the forgiveness of our trespasses,
yes,
according to the riches of his glory,
yes,
and his grace.
Yes.
Verse 8, which he lavished, some translators say bestowed, on us, are you listening?
Yeah.
In all wisdom and in all insight.
Yeah.
Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will.
Yes.
Somebody ought to be getting this right now.
Hallelujah.
According to his kind intention, which he proposed, he purposed in him. Notice it's all going back to who Christ is. Verse 10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in heaven and things on earth. In him. Has it sunk in yet? And he says, now let's go to the future. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Verse 12. And the end, we who were the first in hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. Now look what verse 13 says. And then blow your mind when you see all through that in him. In him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, and there's some people, they ain't going to listen to the truth. They don't realize they lost.
No.
They don't believe that God's going to send them to hell. The gospel of your salvation, having been believed, have you also believed? You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Yeah.
Remember, all three of them at work. Verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Now, has that sunk in yet?
Amen.
Have you let that sink in that you are now his workmanship? Not for your purpose, but for God's purpose. So when things are happening that's hard for you to deal with, remember it is God who is at work.
Yeah.
It's not you that's at work. It is God that's at work.
Yeah.
Both to will and to work his good pleasure. Put Philippians 2:13 back up there for me, Terrence. See, when you know that God is at work, then let me just do the illustration that when you came through the church, everybody on the sound of my voice should have already know what this is. Because when you go through the new orientation class, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, back when I was associate pastor at Berea Baptist Church, I sealed this thing up with some tape. And I put it on there several times. And I'm pretty sure that if somebody can open that thing up, I'm going to leave them alone. But I know they can't open it up. That same way that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, Satan, the demonic realm, will never be able to undo the work. Because you have been saved and sealed, just like this jar, just like what you are with the Holy Spirit, and can never be undone. And God said the information about what has happened is in heavenly places. Do you know you have been sealed in heavenly places?
Thank you.
A proof who you now belong to?
Yeah.
Now the sad part about it is, we as Christians cannot really live like we know who we are. And that's a carnal person. And God said, I put the switch and the problem to carnal Christians until they come to reality. Holiness now lives inside of them.
Yeah.
It is God who is at work. Have you learning? And are you listening?
Amen.
Have you heard what God say? A stranger approached the pastor after service and said, I'd like to pray. Pastor, I'd like for you to pray for my hearing. So the pastor said, well, okay, come over. Let me put my hands on you and pray over your ears. And with passionate, the pastor began to pray an honest prayer and prayed a powerful prayer. And when he finished, he said, amen. And so the man says, and the pastor asked him, well, now how is your hearing now? And the man looked up to him and says, well, it's not until tomorrow at the courthouse, a court hearing. You got to be careful what hearing you're asking for. God ain't talking about that kind of hearing. He's talking about a hearing of well understanding. A lot of us hear physically, but we're deaf spiritually.
Yes.
Because we don't hear what God is saying to us when he allows us to get into a situation. And God saved you to learn how to be dependent on him. How many of you still working out this stuff on your own? See, the day you got saved, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. You didn't do it. God did it. And if God let one person that has been filled with the Holy Spirit go to hell, he would be wrong. Because the Bible says he cannot even deny himself. Why? Because he's now in you.
Yeah.
But now you can ruin your testimony.
Yeah.
You can ruin your reward by living fleshly.
Yeah.
Are we teaching?
Amen.
Are you listening to God?
Amen.
Are you listening to God?
Amen.
Notice what the verse says, and we're going to stop and close this message out. It's God. Are you listening?
Amen.
It is God. Christ Jesus. The second part of the Trinity that's now living in you, who is at work. Are you see that? Underline that in your Bible. Where is he at work at? Where is he at work? Let that sink in. Problems come, situations, people, circumstances. Now you're showing God where your faith is. See, people are not the problem. There's an unseen realm that demonic influence is affecting people to do stuff they shouldn't do, to say stuff they shouldn't say. But you are not to be influenced by the flesh, because the flesh is going to respond from the outside in. But you ought to be responding how?
From the inside out.
The way holiness would do it.
Yeah.
The way righteousness would do it.
Yeah.
The very way Christ Jesus would do it.
Yeah.
See what it says? He says, his good work. You see what his good work is? His good pleasure? His good pleasure is to make you like Christ Jesus. So let me ask you a question. What you're doing and how you're thinking, is it the way Christ would do it? How much time are you giving the Lord every day? Come on. See, you tell God if he's really your priority. You throwing up one of them quick 3-second prayers and you think God ought to bless you with more time and you ain't got time for him. God said, remember, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So you're giving God 5 minutes of your day all day long and you want the full blessing. What did Deke say? You have to be under authority to have authority. And you ain't spending no time with him. When you spend time with God, getting into his word, he starts changing your areas. You don't even realize you're being changed. See, it's his will. And it's his work.
Yeah.
And it's his good pleasure.
Yeah.
It ain't your ability. It's his ability.
Amen.
So you got to remember, the only way this is going to happen, Lord, is you got to do it through me.
That's it.
The only way it's going to happen is I've got to yield to you. And the problem is God don't see enough Christians yielding. See, you know you can be too strong for God to work through you. God ain't going to never force his way on you. Now, Satan will. When I was in the plant, and the millwrights would come. They come in there. They wouldn't even give permission. And you had to tell a man that the machine ain't even down. They'll start using cutting stuff, but they're cutting torch. That's the same way that Satan come in. He come in to steal, kill, and destroy. And he don't ask. He starts taking. So you got to remember, it's God that's working in your future. It's God that's working in your present.
Yeah.
And it's God that's working in your past.
That's
He's working in all three areas. Inside, his desire and his pleasure is his ability. And long as you're trying to do it out of your effort, out of the way you think it ought to be done, guess what? You're going to fail. How many times you lean to your own understanding? Come on, you ought to be tired of that. You ought to be sick and tired of leaning to how you think it ought to go. And if you don't get in God's word, you won't know how he wants it done. Because his word's going to be revealing to you his character. Have you ever asked God why you are, he's not doing something right now? It seems like he's not working at all. Well, you done missed the point. He is working. It just done went over your head. He's working on your character. How many people go to church and don't realize? It's God that's at work, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And what is he doing? Romans 8:29. Making you like his son. So you ask yourself, am I doing things the way Christ Jesus would do it? Or am I still leaning to my own understanding? Leaning to how I think it ought to be happening. See, how you handle your money is a good indication. See, you tell God what your priorities are. As soon as you make that first penny, okay, let me just move it up to a nickel. Because a penny is at least part of a nickel. I'd say a dime. Okay? You ought to give that penny to God right up front from the dime that you make. Every dime that you make, you owe God at least a penny. Is this going over your head? In a penny, a tenth of a dime? So when you start making 1,000 of them, don't squeeze onto it and say, no, wait a minute, that's a little too much. A tenth is a tenth. And if you are a believer, you ought to be giving more than that in your offering. Because Israel was given a third of whatever they got to the ministry, and even more. And here we are, we're struggling with, we can't even give 10%. God said, a minimum is where I start. So I'm challenging you today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Every situation is a prime opportunity for God to show up in your life. Remember, unsolvable issues is in God's territory. You trying to solve that problem? He put you there for you to realize only he can work it out. Did I go over your head today? Did you see the message today?
Amen.
It's God that's at work, and he's always doing it in threes. He ain't gonna come at a way what you expected. You ever wonder why an eagle is so dangerous? An eagle is so dangerous because he can come at an angle you don't even realize where he's coming from. And most of the time he comes straight down on his prey and don't even realize they're about to be caught. And that's the same way God catches us in the grip of sin to yield to him. Remember James said, John said, what is Jesus' purpose? Is to destroy the works of the devil. And when you don't realize God's purpose is to destroy Satan's work, you've already been doomed. And all of us have a contamination of a fallen nature. You need God's help. For what? Everything. So let me close the message today. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I